Oh, what a wonderful anointing. That was great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. ABC last month ended a 21-day fast. Actually, it was this month, but time flies by so fast. And I have a very interesting personality, as my wife likes to say, or unique, because I'm friendly and outgoing. I like people, but I also like to go off by myself and just do research on things, and my beloved wife, she's honey, and I said, just a minute, dear, I'm working on something, so we're working on this, we're doing this fast, and I decided to start researching fast. I thought, why do they call it a fast? There's nothing quick about it. It takes forever, So I'm researching, it starts with the Hebrew, and then it goes into the Greek Latin, and then it's translated into the Italian Latin. If you think that they're the same, talk to some of your Spanish friends from different countries. They're not the same. They have changes in there, okay? And then Martin Luther translated into German, then Ficus translated into English by the King James, okay? And in doing this research, I found something very interesting. They dropped a letter. It's not a 21-day fast. It's a 21-day feast. That's justification. We're just having fun here. Okay. The title of this message is part one of Don't Make the Big Mistake. And being the history person I am, I like to research a lot of things, and I ran across a very interesting photo a few weeks ago. It was a picture of the skyscrapers in New York City during the 50s. And at nighttime, they turned on the lights such that it formed a cross in several of the skyscrapers. Now, this is before computer days. Somebody had to go figure, well, which switches to flip and so forth to make this work perfectly. And every office that rented from these skyscrapers had to agree to do this. It was pretty interesting thought to that. And then we jump forward to today. And we look at today. And we think, prayer to God has been taken out of public schools, unless you're a Muslim. They seem to allow that for some reason. They have rights in some of these schools that Christians don't or Jews don't or something like that, okay? Christians are now considered haters. And there are groups are being kicked off of college campuses. War heroes who fought in World War II, Iraq, Korea, Vietnam, and Afghanistan are being disdained, and many of them are considered anarchists. Too many people. But a famous guy who was an Olympic champion could put on a dress and be called a hero. I have a real issue with that. Boy Scouts have been forced to allow homosexuals in their ranks. Now, if I had a 12 or 13-year-old son, I wouldn't want him going out in the woods with a 17-year-old gay boy. I don't think that's right. Parents and teachers are not allowed to discipline their children. Chick-fil-A has refused franchises to certain colleges and cities because of their stance on gay marriage. There are 3,500 abortions every single day in the United States of America. There are almost 10 times as many abortions since they passed that law back in the 70s. Than what Hitler killed in the concentration camps. Somehow, I don't think Christians are accomplishing the goal of taking dominion over the earth. Do you agree with me on that? I think we're fighting a battle and we're not doing very well. I did not say the word losing. We're not losing. We just need to regain the fight. God's prime directive for his children, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Every living thing. We're supposed to have dominion over this. This is our supreme directive. Webster's Dictionary defines dominion as sovereignty, control, in charge of, right of governing, supremacy, dominant, superiority, and authority. In other words, God delegated dominion and his authority to his children. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say for you to wait and do nothing until Jesus comes. Nor does it say he's going to pluck you out before the trouble begins. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because even though this may be a small nucleus of people compared to the world, Jesus does a lot of things with small things. Okay? When Jesus took dominion over the earth, the heavenlies, and the underworld, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil and rose again from the dead. Now, you and I must follow Jesus to take dominion over the devil. We're not just supposed to dominion over the earth. Dominion over the earth, the heavenlies, and the underworld is what Jesus gave us the right to. We are far advanced from what Adam was given and told to do. We got to do a better job of it. The challenge is that Satan is not going to give up. He has no reason to. His decree has been finalized by the Lord, and it's going to happen to him. He has no reason to quit. And just because a few people say a few words without the right power behind those words isn't going to stop him. You know, we were at a campsite lodge, and there was a bear outside. And it was rucking the dumpster. And when I got to the window, I didn't say, get out in the name of Jesus. I told in full voice and authority for that bear to leave in the name of Jesus. And you can ask the people that saw it. He looked at me and walked away. Okay? You got to know your authority. The problem is Christians don't know the power they have. They just don't receive and understand the power that's in the book that they have in front of them. They do not understand this is the most powerful weapon in the world. It's more powerful than anything North Korea wants to shoot at us. This is more powerful. You know, when Hamas was attacking Israel, they interviewed one of the Hamas people about how come his rockets weren't doing so good. He says, oh, we shoot fine, but their God keeps pushing them away. You think you get the clues on the wrong side, but you know. Okay. I want to talk about the Israelites leaving Egypt. Now, if you think about this for a second, the Lord had 10 miracles come for Pharaoh to let them go. This is nothing small. This was huge. Everything up on the firstborn of all the Egyptians dying. This is huge. Okay? This is also one of the wealth transfers. Because when the Israelites left, the Egyptians gave them all the gold and all the silver, told them to get out of here because we don't want any more of your plagues coming upon us. And they knew if they blessed the Israelites, that God would stop punishing them. And then not too long after that, they get to the Red Sea. And what happens? Lord parts the Red Sea, and they go through it. Okay, now, there was a college student that was reading his Bible at this point, and he was praising God. And Professor Watson says, what are you praising God for? He says, well, I'm reading where God parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites went through without any problems at all. And the professor, who was an atheist, says, we've done scientific research, and it was a low point of the tide times, and this was running, and they actually went through in 10 inches of water. He said, really? praise God. He says, what are you praising God for? God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 10 inches of water. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. And I'm bringing this point to point ahead for a reason right now. The Egyptians were defeated. The Israelites won, annihilated. Not just defeated, but annihilated the entire most powerful army in the world. And they didn't have to throw a spear or shoot an arrow. Okay? A couple weeks later, they crossed the Jordan, or they went across the Jordan. And they were afraid. This doesn't make any sense to me. You, with God, can do anything. He has just proven himself time after time after time. And they're afraid of some giants in a land. Okay? This is where Christians are today. They know what God has done in the past. They're challenged to believe in their heart he will do it for them again. But he wants to. Okay. Now, let's sidebar for a minute. What would have happened if Joseph had stopped believing in God before he was going to be prime minister of Egypt? We wouldn't have a world today. Everybody would starve. Okay. What would have happened if Noah didn't build the ark? We wouldn't have a world today. There'd be no human race, right? Okay. Coming back to the Israelites, 40 years later, when they finally crossed the Jordan and they run into Rahab the prostitute, she basically says, what took you guys so long? We heard what happened and what your God did. We were scared. But Satan used the lie that the Israelites were like grasshoppers in the sight of the Amalekites. That was the lie. They were afraid of the Israelites. All Satan could do was pervert the words and pervert with mind control and put a little bit of fear into something. And there's no reason for that fear. Because God had proven himself time and time and time again. I'm asking you to think back in your own life. How many times has God proven himself to you time and time and time again? And today there's a challenge up there. And it's like, oh God, is this going to work? Yes, it is. But there's a couple keys. We'll get to that in a minute. And that's what Christians are doing today. They believe they're like grasshoppers. Yes, there are a lot of problems out there. Yes, the world is fraught with all kinds of issues and challenges, and ISIS and North Korea and this and that and abortions and this and that. You know what? It doesn't matter. Because God can help us defeat every one of them. Is it going to be easy? No. It's not. But it's going to be done. Okay? We have to know our own strength. Now, the problem with most Christians out there is they believe that God's will be done. And they just have to sit back and just wait for it and so forth and so on. Now, before Adam was born, God did everything. He spoke the world into being. He said, let there be light. He formed this, and then finally Adam was born. But from that point forward, he's never done anything without man. And that's where people, they're waiting for God to come down and do this miracle for them, but they're not willing to do their part. What's wrong with this picture? Okay? Genesis 6:14, Noah had to build the ark. God needs to materialize it for him. Joshua 6:3, Joshua had to take the town of Jericho. It wasn't just given to him. Judges 16:30, Samson had to destroy the enemy with God's strength. He went back down and pushed the building apart and destroyed it because he had God's strength back with him. Psalm 17:37, David fighting Goliath, my God and I will destroy this uncircumcised Philistine. David still had to throw the stone. He didn't walk out and say, okay, God, kill him. I'm waiting, God. Come on, do it. No, he had to do his part, right? Okay. Even Jesus didn't do it all for the people. John 2:7. Jesus didn't say, the vats are already filled with wine. Go fill the vats with water. Then he made it into wine. We have to do our part, then God does his part. Okay? In John 21:6, Jesus didn't say, Peter, you've toiled all night. Let the fish jump into your boat. No. One more time, he had to lower the net onto the other side and pulled in this huge, huge haul that he had to call his friends out to help him take it in. He had to do his part. In John 16:39, Jesus did not say, stone, roll away. He said, roll the stone away. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Jesus knew the power of his words because he said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say, come forth and have 10,000 people try to get out of their graves, okay? He knew the power of his words. Okay. Problem two, Christians don't know their power. And they don't know how to use their power. Now, I give the U.S. military credit for a lot of things. I think they're a pretty great operation. And yes, we'll hear about challenges once in a while, things like that. But their basic concepts are good. And you can ask the military guys around here that they train and train and train and cross-train on everything. So they know what they need to do. I want you to imagine it's World War II, and a German Panzer Division is coming across the ridge, and the sergeant walks up to the private and says, okay, Private, I want you to read the book on how to handle that bazooka and learn how to take out those Panzers. Isn't that what Christians are doing today? No, I'll watch TV tonight, and I'll study my Bible another day. You know, you got to be trained before the attack comes. You got to know the power that's in you and in this word before the attack comes. It has to be you to do your part before God will do his. And that's the problem in the world today. Too many people are not willing to do their part. We live in this instant gratification society where we get everything automatically, put it on a credit card, and oh, then somebody declares bankruptcy. Or we live in a society where they're entitled to everything and they don't want to work. Now, there are legitimate people out there that are having challenges. I understand that and I respect it. Don't misunderstand me. But once somebody gets on an entitlement, it's really tough to get them off because they like sitting home and collecting checks. Okay? Now, here at ABC, we are given the best tools I know of to learn how to operate the power in our Bible. They're all online. You can look at them, start the ones, and go through in a progress and do the work that comes with it. Not going to happen automatically. It is a work. It's like somebody getting in shape. It is a work. And you got to know how to use this because Satan knows this book very well. And Satan knows how to twist this word of this book around to attack you with it. And he's got no problem doing it. When I was taking martial arts, there was this one guy. His expertise was knife defense. And if anybody went at him with a knife, he could take that knife away, and then the knife was his weapon. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. And that's what Satan's trying to do. He'll give you part of a scripture. He even tried to use the word of God against Jesus. Okay? All right? He's trying to do this. He's very good at this. He knows how to lie. He knew how to keep the Israelites from going into the Jordan for 40 years. Now, this is important. He delayed what God wanted to happen. But he didn't stop it. And the problem is, he's trying to delay us until it's too late. We have to get on our horse. We have to do what we need to do. We have to study and prepare and be ready for the fights that are coming. Now, God has given everybody here something to do. And I've talked about this before. And I'm bringing it back up because two people are listening to this situation and saying, I'll get to it later. Later is now. Okay. The other problem is they think it's too expensive to do. When we took the government, the judicial system took prayer out of schools and started the snowballing effect of what we have today, I asked God, I said, God, why? He says, well, that was their right. I won't go against their will. But I told many people to start up free schools for the children. And I'm thinking, before I got the thought in my head, that that would be very expensive. He says, and I'd be glad to pay for it. He wanted those children taught properly. He didn't want them taught by bureaucrats. He wanted them taught by people of word of faith and taught about the Bible. And if you go back and look at the founding fathers, when they set up school, the first thing they taught was the Bible. And these people knew the Bible growing up, and that's why our country is as great as it is today. If you look at 1 Corinthians 9:7, it says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? And that's the verse where God says he's going to pay for the tools that you need to do whatever he has you to do. Now, bear with me for a minute. When you go into your prayer closet and ask God what to do, if it's something you can do by yourself, it's not a God. Okay? God wants to partner with us to do things great, magnificent, so he gets the glory. We need to accept that. We need to receive that. Okay, God, that is a little bit challenging to me. I'm not going to use the word scare, but that's a little bit challenging to me, but it must be you. And he will show you how to do it step by step, and he'll meet you every way he can. God doesn't need us. He can do whatever he wants to without us, but he has chosen to do it this way. And he doesn't need much of us to do this. Now, they gave Jesus a few fishes and loaves, and he fed 15,000 to 20,000 people. He doesn't need much. But he needs you to do what you need to do. If that little boy hadn't brought up those fishes and loaves, Jesus would not have fed them. Or he would have to find a different way to send and bought food or something like that. But the miracle was, he needed something. We have to give something. That's why tithing and offering are so important. You put in, you believe for the return. But you got to do your part. Too many people are out there saying, well, it's just going to happen. Just going to happen. So what are you supposed to do for God? Turn off the TV. Turn off the cell phone, turn off the computer, turn off all the electronic distractions that are in the world today. Set yourself a time up and ask God, what do you want me to do? And then write it down. Do that for 30 days. Then reread your notes. How many people here know the verse Ephesians 3:20? How many people know the whole verse? Who knows the last part of it? God can do exceedingly abundantly above. Right. Okay. According to his power that is in work within us. And many people do that part of the verse off. God's going to do all this stuff. But it's his power in you that does it. He doesn't just do it and manifest it for you. It's his power in you. That does it. And we got to finish the job. What would have happened if Daniel would have stopped praying on 20 days instead of going to 21? Okay. What does all this mean to you? We don't want to be like the Israelites. We don't want to be the ones who stop short of the mark. What happened to them? They perished. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the scariest words in the Bible are, away from me, I know you not. I don't want to hear those words. I don't want any of us to hear those words. I want all of us to hear the, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So this message has been a little bit harsh, but it's a little bit of encouragement too, because gather up with God. We are not supposed to put our heads in the sand. There are challenges out there. We're to take dominion, and we're to do what we need to do until Jesus returns. And he is coming. And as we know from our Revelation series, he's coming quickly. Yes, I believe that. But you know, in World War II, there was a French underground. And they did a lot preparing for the invasion. They didn't have to, but they did. And they saved a lot of GIs because of it. There was an Italian priest out of the Vatican that was actually hunted, in a manner of speaking, by the commandant of Rome, because he kept sneaking the U.S. and British soldiers who were caught behind lines and find him and find a way to get him out. And he saved approximately 4,000 soldiers during his time. Interestingly enough, when Rome fell and that commandant was captured, the commandant went to this Italian priest and asked him to get his wife and children out of the country, because he had the connections to do it. He didn't want his wife and children, who were not part of the German issue. And the priest did. And then for 10 or 12 years, I'll give the exact number, that priest went once a month to visit that commandant in prison. And finally, that commandant gave his life to the Lord. We don't know who we're talking to at any point in time. We don't know what we're supposed to do. But if we follow what God's plan is for us, and do it step by step by step by step, victory is ours in every area of our life. Complete, total, uninterrupted victory for everything we have done. God's got the money there for us. People got big plans for ministry. Okay, God, you went to me this ministry. Show me what I need to do to pay for it. And he will. You have big plans for families, for businesses, things like that. God has put something on your heart to do for his kingdom, or he wouldn't need us. We wouldn't be here today if he didn't want us to do something. So I'm going to repeat what I said a little bit ago. Schedule out some time. Give yourself a half an hour a day. Make your appointment with God. Don't let anything interrupt that time with God. Nothing is more important than that half hour. I do that every day. One day I said, okay, God, I'd like an 8:30 appointment with you. He says, no, make it 9 o'clock. I said, okay, I'm not going to argue with God. 8:30, a big transaction came in I had to handle. I would not have been able to do my time with God, but at 9 o'clock, my half hour is clear. Every time I've asked God, what time should I have an appointment with him, he's always set up, I have a clear half hour where I can spend my time with him. And he's never let me down. So I'm going to encourage you. God wants to help you with what you were supposed to do. It's not a small thing. He doesn't do small things. Everything he does is big. And he's got a challenge for you that the natural is going to give you an issue where you may be tempted to be afraid. Don't, because it's with God. If it doesn't challenge you that much, it's probably not of God. But he has a call for each and every one of us to do something very unique, very special, and to start the turnaround preparing for Christ's return. And a lot of that's going to be the wealth transfer like he's done in the past. He's always done that in the past with a huge wealth transfer to set things up for him. Expect a fight with Satan, because he's not going to give up easily. He's proven that. But if you know your word, and you know the strength of your word, and you know how to use it, and you follow the courses taught here at ABC, you'll be ready for that fight. And you may get hit, but you will come out victorious. One more comment. The bigger the fight, the greater the victory. Amen? All right. All right. Thank you all very much.